You just push them out and wonder why they're not coming back, never trying to find out why.
Will you pray with me? Will you pray? Our Father and our God, Lord, the awesome responsibility, Lord, that you laid upon us. I want to thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be able to be here this week. Lord, it seems like for the last 3 weeks has been preaching every night, running every night, searching your word, trying to find out your will. Each and every service, everything that needs to be said and done. So I thank you, Lord, for letting me be here. I thank you, Lord God, for our friends. Lord, I got to remember, Lord, back 42 years ago when you laid your hands on me and you called me to preach. Lord, I promised you, Lord, that if you'd use me, if you'd open doors for me, Lord, that I'd tell the truth, so help me, God. So help us here tonight, God. Bless these your people. Thank you for every song. Thank you for the kindness. Thank you for the handshakes and the friendship. God, tonight, as I stand here, I need you to undergird me, strengthen me. Watch over my lips to say what only you need said and you want said here tonight. Help us, Lord. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Like I said, I've been preaching now for 42 years. I promise the Lord, from the kind of background that I come, if he would use me, if he would open up doors, then I'd say whatever he wants said. And whatever he wants done, and to do it that way. And I think that's all the way that it should be done. You don't have to turn there, or if you want to, turn over. It's in the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter number 13. I just want to read you one verse, and then I want to speak a few words, and then we're going to go to the New Testament. Both of them is in the Gospel of John. Zechariah, chapter number 13, if you would, please. Thank you for everything that everybody's done for me here this week. I appreciate it. Could I get a bottle of water, please? If I could get a bottle of water, I sure would appreciate it. In Zechariah chapter number 13, and the Bible says this in verse 6, Zechariah 13, 6, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer those, with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. When I was just a young Christian, there's three messages that I heard that got all the way deep down in my soul. One of them is how to be a friend of God. What you got to do to be like Abraham, to be a friend of God. And that verse there didn't mean too much to me when he said, I was wounded in the house of my friends. What an awesome. Now, I know Isaiah 53:4 that he was wounded for our transgressions. I know all that. But I wonder in the house of God, how much do we really wound him all the time and never think one thing about it? Is that right? I give Brother Ed some books here this week. Brother Ed some books here this week by a preacher friend of mine, that I know, and they did a survey. They did a survey all over the country here of independent Baptist churches. Thank you, brother. They went off all over the independent Baptist churches and they did a survey on prayer. They found out that the average church member only prays 63 seconds a day. 63 seconds a day. Pastors with churches on up to 500 people only pray 6 minutes a day. I think that that must wound the heart of God himself. Is that right that we do not talk to him no more? We just say, now, Lord, I bless this food in Jesus' name, I pray. You know what I mean? And it's over with, and the pastor's got a congregation and church business that he needs to be praying about, that he needs to spend more time alone with the Lord. But he said in the survey that the most of them, the majority of them, only pray 6 minutes a day. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, everywhere I go, because I'm an evangelist, and they call us and they say, we want revival. We got a certain days set aside that we're going to have a revival. But I want you to know something. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. Just because we set a certain days aside does not mean that God's going to show up. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Just because, I don't care who you get, you bring anybody, bring your heroes, your friends, do anything you want, but because you set a certain number of days aside does not mean that God is obligated to show up. We need to and got to be on his timing. Is that right? Now, I just come out of a meeting, just drove. I drove almost 24 hours to get here out up in Maryland up there. And when I left there, they were saying that we had a great revival. Well, the only thing wrong with that, I mean, I'm glad for the four people that I told you got saved up there. Even though the four got saved, God saved four people in spite of what's going on in the church. Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, I'm trying to tell you, they said that we have revival. And can I tell you that there was night after night that God wasn't in a million miles of that place? You wouldn't admit that, but I promise you, I'm trying to tell you the truth. I said a long time ago, back in the 1920s, I said there was a black woman lived on a plantation. And out on the plantation with a bunch of other slaves. And they said that the master of the plantation went riding in his buggy one night. And he passed by the old black church out there in the country. And when he passed by there that night, about 7:30, 8 o'clock that night, and he said, and he saw all the horses and the buggies and the lanterns and everything inside of the building, inside of the church building, and he could hear them singing and stuff like that. So the next day, the plantation owner went to see Annie. He said, Annie, last night I was out riding in my buggy and I passed by your church. And he said, I seen all you black folk lined up down there. Y'all must be having revival down at your church. And she said, no, sir, we're not having no revival down at my church. And he said, well, Annie, he said, I seen all them folk down there. I figured y'all was having revival. The next night, he gets in his buggy about 7:30, 8 o'clock that night, passes by that church, and even more of them gathered up. And he could hear them singing, and he could hear all kind of stuff going on in church. He went down to her house the next day and said, Annie, this is 2 days in a row that I passed by your house, and I seen all y'all gathered up down there. Y'all got to be having revival. And she said, no, sir, we're not having no revival. And I mean, that upset that old man. The next night, the third night, he went riding by the church. There was even more in there, and he could hear them singing in a carillon in there. The next day, he drove down to A's place there, and his horse and buggy, and he got out. He said, Annie, come out here. Come out here. And he took his horse buggy like this. He said, Annie, bend over the back of that wagon there. Bend over the back of that wagon. I'm going to give you 10 lashes right now for lying to me. She said, what are you talking about, sir? I'm not lying to you. She said, I've been by your church 3 nights, and I hear the singing, and I hear all the stuff going on. But Annie, you keep trying to tell me there is no revival. I said, no, some boss man, we're not having no revival. He said, Annie, I'm tired of you lying to me. Why do you tell me you're not having revival? She said, Master, because we ain't wept yet. And can I tell you here at Friendship Baptist Church, and 99% of the churches that I go to, the reason we're not having revival is because we ain't wept yet. God has never broke us yet. Is that right? I hear preachers all the time get up and say, God's looking for champions. No, he's not looking for champions. God's looking for people like Jacob. Then he breaks the hollow of their joint and he breaks them and they walk with a limp, the ones that God's broke. Then he'll be able to use them. Is that true? Now, Brother Larry, a minute ago when he was up here, and I appreciate that, Brother Larry. He said a word about coming to a party. Coming to a party. There's seven miracles in John's gospel. Seven miracles. And every one of them was a party. And I'm just going to use the first one and the last one. And we'll go to the house. Look at John's gospel chapter number 2, if you would, please. John's gospel chapter number 2. I was wounded in the house of my friends. In John's Gospel, chapter number 2, if you'd be so kind to look there. In John's Gospel, chapter 2. This is the first miracle that Jesus done. And it's at a wedding. And Jesus is the first one that ever performed a wedding. Now, Brother Randy and Sister Shirley's got to beat it back to West Virginia because some people in their church is having a wedding. Now, at this wedding that they're having there that day, all of a sudden, the Jew weddings lasted for 7 days. All of a sudden, they realized that they was out of wine to be able to serve the people at the wedding, at this big festive party that they're having there. Now, I want you to watch this. Joy, wine in the Bible is likened unto joy. You see what had happened at this big wedding? It had ran completely out of joy. There was no joy there. Jesus' mother said that they need wine. We are empty and we do not have the wine of the Spirit and there's no more joy. Is that right? Is that true? And I thought, well, now, how did Jesus get wounded here at this party? Look at verse 1, if you would, please. Look at verse 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there and was called and his disciples to the marriage. Do you see what was wrong at that party that they was having? They didn't have Jesus on the first day. Why in the name of God, if they're going to have a wedding and they're going to have a party, why did they invite him on the first day? It was 3 days later before they ever invited him. Do you understand what I'm saying? They've already been partying, they've been festive times and all this stuff. And 3 days later, can I tell you something? I go to church after church, revival after revival. And you know what they do? We never meet in the prayer room. We don't never have an altar of prayer. We don't never beg God. We don't have cottage meetings for prayer. Before revival, we just get together. We mumble a little prayer and say, God, will you come down and meet with us? We're as bad as this group right here. They waited 3 days later, and it was after they was out of joy. Is that true? Is that right? Come on, you might as well tell the truth. I'm up here for a few minutes. We'll go home. But I want to show you something now. So the second party is going to be my text. The second party is in John's Gospel, chapter number 12. While you got your finger, hold it in chapter 12. I want to show you there's 17 people at this party. They're at a big party. They're celebrating. Look at John's Gospel, chapter number 21, if you would, please, real quickly. And you can mark these guys. Here's some of the guys at the party. And in verse 2, and there were together Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John. If you're marking this down, Simon, he was the boaster. He was the boaster. He's the one that said, Lord, they all leave you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to stay right with you. He was a boaster type guy. The next guy is Thomas. He's the doubter. He's the one that doubted about the resurrection of Christ. And Nathaniel, he was the critical one. And he said, could anything good come out of Nazareth? Then the sons of Zebedee, that's the James and John. They was the glory seekers. And look what it says. And it said, and others of his disciples, that's you and me. I'm sure tonight in this crowd right here, there's some people here tonight that are boasters, that are glory seekers, that are proud. Is that right? Is that true? But now let's look at some more right here real fast. John 12, we'll go home. In John's Gospel, chapter number 12. Please follow me along if you would, please. The Bible said in John's Gospel, chapter number 12. We'll read 11 verses and you don't have to read no further. It said, then Jesus, if you got your pencil, I wish you'd underline these. Jesus is one. Before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, and who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, and there they made him a supper. Martha, that's number two. Lazarus, that's number three. Are you marking these? Verse number three, there's Mary, and it said, then took Mary a pound of spikenard, and spikenard, very costly, and they anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then one of his disciples, who, Judas, there's another bird there, circle him, named Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment there sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, that he cared not for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag, and bare that which was therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but you have not me always. Much people of the Jews, there's the Jews, please underline that bunch right there. And there, much people of the Jews, therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death. Now watch this real close. I read you seven different other people. We know the 12 disciples was there. There was a total of 17, the best that I can count, at this big party that they're having. I just read you the party list, the guest list that was at this party. And I can well say that if each one of these people that I named are in this church and in every church that I go to, every church that I go to, but the sad part about that, what broke the heart of God here, the Bible said they came not for Jesus' sake only. I believe that breaks the heart of God when we show up for any other purpose except for his sake and to come to the party to celebrate the greatest person that has ever been on this universe. Is that right? Is that true? Now, there's lots of people I know goes to church, especially when they have homecomings. They go down there just to eat. Some people go to church just to get light bills paid. Some people go to church just to borrow money. Some people go to church just to get food. Is that right? But the sad part about it is they did not come for Jesus' sake only. For sake of time, real fast, let me give you something if you would. The first one I want you to look at is in verse 2. And the Bible said, and they made him a supper, and Martha served. Now, I'm glad that we're going to have sandwiches here tonight. I'm glad for the meals that you already cooked Sunday. But can I tell you, Martha's purpose was being there. She was worried just about the food. Is that right? And lots of churches I go to that I see ladies at homecomings and stuff, they'll bring the food, they won't stay in during the preaching, they won't stay into it, and they're worried that somebody is not going to eat what they cooked. Is that right? Now, Martha was not there for Jesus' sake only. I mean, buddy, she was all upset. Is that right? I mean, I see it everywhere I go. You might as well say, Meg, we're going to be here six more people. But I want you to watch this. And I see it everywhere I go. You go to this church here, and I've had ladies get mad at church. If you didn't eat something that they put down on that table, they was worried about serving. There's nothing wrong with serving. But the message that I want to bring you here tonight is this. Keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is Jesus Christ. I'm glad that you serve. I'm glad that you do your part. But the main thing, he wants worship more than a biscuit.